A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 22nd July 2021. We will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, teachings from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 336, I think the last paragraph there. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of awareness. Then we will have our, as usual, half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We are off the light. After that, you can proceed with your meditation. So like the word awareness-based meditation is to develop our inner awareness so that we are just aware, we don't think. That is the silent mind developing the awareness-based meditation. Okay, so remember the four support, relax body and mind, relax every part of your physical body, and every mind state that arises within your mind is just like just let things be at ease, then silence everything. Don't try to do anything, don't try to think. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed and at peace, silent, but maintain awareness. Don't fall into the sleep. If you are tired, you need to sleep, then you will have very good sleep. Then you can rest. But if you are not tired, maintain awareness. So when you are relaxed and you can maintain awareness, the third support is the stability of the awareness. Means you maintain the awareness for as long as you can until the inner awareness becomes very stable, until there is no more thinking, no more thought. Everything has become very peaceful, very quiet, and very tranquil. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is your silent mind. So awareness-based meditation is to develop this awareness and use it to meditate, to understand what is going on in life, to know clearly who are you? What are you? The self-awareness will lead to self-knowledge, the understanding of who you are, what you are, or what this human being is all about, what this form and mind is all about. You have a physical body with its senses, then you have a consciousness trapped inside. How the two interact and animate you into a human being. All these are the important sciences and understanding with regards to the mind that you have to understand. These are not tangible scientific understanding. It involves the spiritual understanding behind. It needs mind to develop the understanding and the awareness. After you have that understanding, then only the words come in. Words, language are required for communication, to express things, to explain things, to communicate, to interact. But the awakening of it, the understanding of it, does not need words. It is just the awareness that is aware. Silent, completely silent. Through that silence, it can silently observe and develop the understanding. It will know how we function as a human being, how our mind stirs and react to sense experience and create all the entanglement, leading to all the emotion, negativity of mind states, and what they call mental activity that living beings arise. So all this are very important understanding that the individual human being can develop the understanding through awareness-based meditation. Only awareness-based meditation can give you this style of understanding, awakening. Okay, with that, I will let you meditate on your own. Eh? Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do the meditation. Don't allow your thought to interfere. When your thought try to come in to meditate and interfere, it becomes thought-based meditation. So trust means you just let that nature move and create all the phenomena within. Then, like you are dead, you are a silent observer of its manifestation and movement. That nature, which is already intelligent and wise, will know how to move where it is without negativity. Our true nature is already perfect. The ancients said, human nature is inherently good. We engage in spiritual cultivation for no other purpose than to return to our original nature. Yet, during the process of spiritual cultivation, we must avoid forming more negative karmic affinity with people and must also strive to promote virtuous Dhamma and not become indolent. Indolent means lazy. Yeah? So the first paragraph is very beautiful. Huh? Human nature is inherently good, means that inherent nature is already perfect, wholesome. Then the sutra say, we engage in spiritual cultivation for no other purpose. This is the sole intent. Then to return to our original nature. What is this original nature? And this one is a very important aspect of the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha's teaching. According to Lord Buddha, each and every one of us, all living beings, not only human beings, we have this true nature within. Or we call it the original nature. In Mandarin, Mahayana, they call it 本来的面目, means originally, the beginning, the source. 本来的面目. So the sole purpose of meditation or spiritual cultivation is to realize this, is to return to that state before everything arise, before everything start. There's a reason why if you look at all the teachings that has the truth, they always talk about this true nature, original nature. Then some call it the source, because the original nature, the source of all things. And this source is the beginning. And we also sometimes find different names used. Some call it the oneness nature, the totality. From there, everything originates. From that true nature, all things arise. And some call it the Buddha nature. So there are various names used to describe this nature. But for the cultivator or the spiritual practitioner who has the ability to silence their mind, to realize that nature is most beautiful and most important, if you can do that, you will awaken. You will become enlightened. you understand what that nature is, then you will know how unique a being you can be. Whatever you observe and see from outside, the human form, the consciousness that is trapped inside, is not your true nature. That one is the karmically conditioned form of mind that you come into existence during this life. We call it the segmented body and mind of our present life coming into this existential world. And that one is a vehicle and tool for us to come, for us to use. So use it. Do not be deceived and deluded by it. And that one is not you. That's why the Buddha's advice is, do not attach, do not cling, do not grasp. Otherwise you will suffer. If there is no understanding of what this is, there is a tendency for living being to grasp, to cling and to hold and believe that this is what you are. That's why the ego, the personality arise. When the egoic mind and the personality arise, what happens is we have this delusion that believe we exist. We are this so-called human being. Then from there, we created the ego, the entity, the I. So when you exist, this one will develop selfishness, possessiveness, trying to own things and have things. And this is a source of problem. But from here, it creates the negativity of mind state. Selfishness can also lead to possessiveness, greediness, craving, clinging, grasping, and attachment. There is this desire to own things, to have things, to possess things, to control things. So all this is what greed is all about, selfishness is all about. And the Buddha called it an ego root. Now when you try to own without understanding that these are delusions, you create a lot of conflict, a lot of division, a lot of unnecessary suffering to humanity. That's how war arises. That's how conflict arises. That's how misunderstanding arises. So all this arises through the thought, the mundane mind, the thinking mind that create division. Through what? Through words that this thought create, mundane mind. And words develop into concept, idea, ideology, views and opinion. That's how they divide. Take for example one word, religion. It divides humanity into all the various belief system, religion. You call yourself a Buddhist, a Christian, a Muslim, or a Hindu, or by whatever religion. Then you have your belief system, you have your religious belief system. Then all these are very different. Most of them are very different. That's how you create unnecessary conflict and misunderstanding. And this division will divide humanity into so many different religious belief denominations. Then another one is race. When it comes to race again, they divide into so many. That's why there's a lot of racial conflict, racist type of remark leading to all the problems that the world has to deal with. Then the word nationality again create division leading to conflict, argument, misunderstanding, all this. Then your ideology also same, belief system also create a lot of misunderstanding and division. Then various type of people with different ideology, they will come out with their own views and opinion of things. And all this can be a major source of division that leads to all the conflicts and problems. So all our religion, their main intent and purpose is very beautiful, because they proclaim to possess the truth. When you proclaim to possess the truth, means you believe you have the truth. And through having the truth, you can develop perfect understanding and a perfect world, giving rise to solution to all situation and problem. But from what we see in the world, this is not happening. So what is the likely conclusion? To me, the likely conclusion is most of them do not have the truth. And even those religions that have the truth, but the follower, the disciple, does not truly comprehend the truth. That's why it leads to all this continual denial, conflict, misunderstanding, argument, and division. So this is our present problem, because the world has evolved until it has become such. So what this sutra wants us to understand is to develop the spiritual understanding to realize that nature, so that you can awaken and know that that nature has nothing to do with the form and mind that we are having, the human being. If you can awaken to that, then the problem get resolved. Because in the teaching, it is mentioned, you can see beyond the human form. What do you see? Because our problem comes from the mundane mind that attach and create division. And we attach to the appearances. That is the major delusion, form delusion. And the first major form delusion is the physical body. Through that physical body, we label. You are a Chinese, you are an Indian, a Negro, a Black, a White, a Westerner, or an Asian. That all this create form delusion and division. Because we look at form, the physical, then there is old, young, male, female, all this can lead to conflict and division again, because we identify with the appearances, the form. But if we see beyond form, then a lot of our problem, division is gone. When I can see through the meditative mind beyond the physical body, what do I see? There is no human being. There is no form and mind. There is no male, female, no young, no old. Well, that nature within has none of all this. Then there is no race, no nationality, nothing. Then I see there is a mind inside that. So this mind is neither male or female. It's just consciousness, mental consciousness trapped inside. Then a lot of the division created by physical appearances is gone. Then we have more similarity, less dissimilarity, means less problem, less conflict. I use the word less because at the mind level, there can still be conflict and misunderstanding. Why? Because your mind is so conditioned. Each and every one of us, our mind is so conditioned. Conditioned by our education system, our belief system, our own tradition, by our own what we call society that we came from. Then our exposure to the environment, to the various places where we work, where we visit and live our life. Through that conditioning, we were develop as individual our own views and opinion of things. This is the major division again. That conflict is very severe. So all those that they create through the physical appearance now appear at the mind level. Means your religious belief, your views, your opinion, all this come in. That's why human being can argue again, can get angry, emotional, violent. And these are the result of what? The mind reacting to all these views, opinion, and division. We argue over right and wrong. And what is right and wrong? It's a relative truth, not the ultimate truth. Right according to you. Right according to me. Right according to the individual. That is not the nature's truth. Nature's truth is whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. And truth can never be monopolized. It's not your truth, not my truth. Your truth, my truth, and other people's truth are individual truth according to us. But there is one truth which nature recognizes. That's why a lot of teachers, religious, spiritual teachers who understand, they always say truth is the isness of things, the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. Because that is the reality. At any one time, condition like that, things will be like that. So when you understand that law that governs life and existence, that created this type of phenomena or happening, then there is the truth. If that is the case, then there is no more argument. Because we cannot monopolize truth. We need to realize that truth from our inner nature, inner awareness, inner consciousness. Well, truth is beyond that mundane mind, the thought process. That's why truth is very difficult to comprehend. Human beings' problem is they use the thought to try to learn things. And they think, they believe, truth can also be learned. But truth is beyond thought, beyond mind. You cannot learn. Truth is to be awakened to be realized by that nature within. That's why spiritual cultivation is so different. So all of spiritual cultivation is to realize that true nature, that true mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. That's what meditation is all about. That's why I have been teaching this for so long, but living being cannot understand. So this is the part that I want to explain. We will go back to the sharing. So I read again. Human nature is inherently good. Beautiful. We engage in spiritual cultivation for no other purpose than to return to our original nature or our true nature within our true mind. Yet, during the process of spiritual cultivation, we must avoid forming more negative karmic affinity. Means you do not create karmic negativity that lead to negativity of karma. Coming down for with people, and we must also strive to promote virtuous dhamma, means very wholesome, virtuous dhamma understanding, and not to become indolent, means lazy. Therefore, we must always keep the dhamma in our mind, help the teachings flourish and remain diligent. Only then can we return to the source of merits. To do this, we still must begin with right faith, with sadha. Thus, the source of the way and merits is the right faith. Faith is very important. Faith means faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching in our own nature. With right faith and right thought, we can cultivate the field of goodness in our own mind. Then after harvesting our field, we spread the seeds of love throughout the world. By sharing the spirit of love with everyone, our love can nourish. Our love can nourish all sentient beings. Okay, we go to the next adapted verse. We are the master of our own spiritual home. We ourselves must guard the treasure in our home. If we are wealthy and have more than enough, we must diligently give to others. Not be stingy or complain that we are poor. By engaging in spiritual practice in the world, we are the blessed among the rich. So this is very important. Among the rich, because you have the Dhamma, you will be successful. But you are the one that is really blessed among the rich, blessed in all aspects of your life. Not only will come to you, it come to you through the appropriate right way, and you will not have problem with it. So that's why it's called the blessed one among the rich. When the Buddha Dhamma abides in our mind, when you have this understanding of this teaching, we are the wise one among the wise. This is truly wisdom, spiritual wisdom. So this adapted verse is also very beautiful. That's why we must have gained complete understanding to be master of our own spiritual journey or home. That's why we ourselves must guard the treasure in our spiritual home. So this treasure, actually, when you understand, you don't have to guard it. Once you have cultivated it, perfected it, it will be stored in nature. It will be always there. But this spiritual wealth or spiritual nature, there is one uniqueness about it. You cannot access it or inherit it unless when you come to this existential world through a form and mind, chemically conditioned form and mind, or vehicle and tool, you continue to have the condition to meditate and to connect to your true nature, then only you can inherit your spiritual nature. That is the difficult part. That is the part that cultivator must understand. Otherwise, it's not easy. That's why here the author used the word, you have to be master of your own spiritual home, means you must understand the cultivation thoroughly so that you can have this understanding, so that there is no fear, nothing. You continue to cultivate, to evolve, to perfect yourself, then that nature is always there. Then you must also have the understanding that whenever you choose to come or you have to come, you have to meditate, to connect, to inherit, to recall and have all this understanding coming back to you. And then only you can understand life. Then life becomes beautiful. Just like what happened to my nature, this life, when I come, I connect very fast, very early. And before I connect, my karmic nature, together with my cultivation, my vow, and my understanding from the past and perfection, it helps me. It is responsible for the initial phase of guiding my form and mind and protecting it and receiving the blessing, protection, and guidance from all the great beings and all those things. That's how it becomes what it is. It has this understanding to evolve the causes and conditions for all this to happen. And it will happen very beautifully in accordance with that nature's law, because that is the understanding that you must have. That's why we must master the understanding of this spiritual power. Okay, I will read on. As we experience the truth of all things in the world, they add to our spiritual wealth. This is very true. as you go through life, as you fulfill your vow, as you continue to come in this Bodhisattva path training, you will experience the truth of all things in the world, which you never have understood unless you come enough time to experience all of the various possibility of existence, the various capacity and type of living beings, and also complexity of civilization, living beings, manifestation and existence. All this will add to our spiritual well and become our perfection or understanding. For instance, when we see beautiful sceneries or wonderful things, we can feel the joy. A lot of people never see all this. The beauty of life, the beauty of nature. That's why all this are within existence, within life. But how many human beings can really have the silent mind to experience all this, to have the understanding, to appreciate and rejoice and live with all this? What is happening to the world is most human beings is having a lot of problems nowadays. Unless you are wealthy, materialistic, successful, or whatever, even for those who have the wealth and all things, they more than often squander off their wealth or use it in a very materialistic way. They don't have the spiritual understanding to actually live the beautiful life, the wonderful life. And most human beings have a lot of problems. They are too busy worrying about life, complaining about life, then arising all the fear, worry, and anxiety over small, small things. Many things can make them miserable or unhappy. Their own views and opinion or thing can actually make them miserable, tormented. Their reaction to the world, to sense experience, to whatever they hear, they smell, they taste, they pick up a few things, can trigger negativity of mind state. That's why there is no love, no virtue, no understanding. So human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so, they totally miss out on life. To live life is not to think, is not to worry. I mean, you can plan your life if you want to. But planning with a clear mind and thinking and become muddled is two different things. Heedless thinking does not lead to clarity and solution. Heedless thinking can lead to suffering, misery. That's why a lot of people think the wrong thought. That condition, their fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Well, when they recall their scars or memory, their unhappy moment, they become miserable. Then when they project the thought, fear arises. They worry about things that hasn't happened. The question is always, what if my boss come to know? What if my good friend come to know, or my spouse come to know? What if my family member come to know? So all this is creating tremendous fear, worry, anxiety, then miserable mind states. That's why without Dhamma, without the spiritual understanding, living beings suffer. Even though the world is full of all this possibility of good life, wonderful life, like what is mentioned in the text, everything that is within existence, you know how to live it, appreciate it, like the beautiful scenery, the wonderful existence that is possible, especially our this civilization, where all the evolution of science, technology, IT, everything has made our physical world a lot of beautiful possibility. Life has evolved until it's so beautiful, so wonderful. Not only good food, you can have good music, beautiful scenery, and also beautiful places to visit. And there's a lot of places where there's very rich history, culture, the inherent beauty of that environment, that nature. And even the entertainment industry, the cinema, the video, the whatever show that we want to experience, we don't have to travel sometimes in the midst of our own home. We can have all this possibility. Some can even install very nice home theater with all the nice music and all the nice harmonic vibration. So all these are possible. Then you can drive nice car, you can have the means and you can afford it. Then you can travel, you can have good food, you can have good home, nice air to breathe, good nature. Then you can have good friends, sincere, genuine friends, kinemitas and all these things. And this is life. Why are living beings not able to experience all this? Instead, they prefer to turn into conflict, fear, worry, anxiety, argument, division, and hurt. You look at the pandemic, it has created so much problem for almost every country, every nation, and their people. Of course, once a while, they have the joy. Like what happened to the UK when they opened up recently on the 19th of July, where they removed all the lockdown. But then, the consequence of that action, we still don't know. Anything can happen. Hopefully, it can be contained and they can have back their good life, their, they believe they can live with it, which finally I think will be the actual case. We have to learn to live with new disease. This COVID-19 pandemic hopefully is going to end up like one of the earlier pandemic things, like the Spanish flu. It become a normal flu because we have the vaccine and we know how to deal with it. Then there is less hospitalization, less severe what we call cases of admission to hospital and needing ICU facilities and also the respiratory assistance to help maintain life. So if all this really become a reality, then this is the fastest turnaround for our present civilization. Means within about 2 to 3 years, we can resolve it. Last time, the Spanish flu took very long, very, very long. And many other pandemic, or some epidemic, plague and all those things during the 18th century, 19th century, and the early 20th century. They are all not easy to deal with. We are there at that time, the advance of science, medical science, was still not there. The world was still very backward, primitive in that sense. So all this, a beautiful topic for reflection and contemplation, if you understand. But this is about life, existence, about our planet. Then this planet can be a reflection of what is going to happen in the future. That's why it will affect the future evolution, then evil embraces the whole universe. So all these are beautiful contemplative wisdom and understanding that we can develop and evolve when we have the ability to understand things in a very different manner. Especially when you connect and realize your nature. Your nature can understand many, many things that is beyond our mental or the thought process, the thinking process. That nature is very beautiful, very exceptional, and very, very unique in the sense that it is so different. And to have the ability to realize it is already a big step towards the spiritual cultivation. After you can realize it, you can stabilize it and perfect it and use it to develop all the possibility of wisdom and understanding. You become exceptionally wise spiritually. Then you can merge into life and become a true human being and a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. So this is what Dhamma is all about. So we'll continue back to our sharing. So today's topic is actually very nice. I read the paragraph of the commentary again. As we experience the truth of all things in the world, they add to our spiritual wealth. This one I have explained. For instance, when we see beautiful scenery and wonderful things, we feel joy. This one I also elaborated on it. When we are a part of a great family of kind people who join with us in collective to collectively exercise wisdom to serve others, we sense the richness of human nature. Thus, we are the master of our spiritual home with wisdom and an open mind, with genuine compassion and great love. We can be enriched by all things in the world. This is very true. We ourselves must guard the treasure in our home. If we are wealthy and have more than enough, we must diligently give to others, not to be stingy or complain that we are poor. We are the only ones who can guard the beauty. Sorry, guard the bountiful means a lot, yeah. Bountiful treasures in our spiritual home. Now this word is very true. Bountiful treasure, or I learned a new word. When you perfect your spiritual wisdom, you have a lot of treasure inside there. And they are really, really beautiful treasure. If we have a surplus of time and energy, we should give constantly, not be stingy with our strength, nor let our ego get in the way. If we are guarded and reserved, we will never be able to form good karmic condition with others. That's why it's very important that we open our heart and let our virtue shine forth. And we will never feel a sense of abundance. So that's why you must have an open mind. You must allow your virtue to shine forth. There is a story about this in the sutta. During the Buddha's lifetime, class division were very clear. The four Indian caste system were all treated differently. In the city-state of Rajaganga, or Rajaha, we read the notes. It's a city in India, also known as the city of House of King. The word Raja comes from the word Raja, Rajaha. Even the neighborhood was segregated by class. Among this division was a place called 100 million village, where each resident had wealth beyond 100 million pieces of gold and were the high status, were of high social status. There was an ordinary businessman who was very envious of these residents and wished to live in the 100 million village. So he resolved to work hard and make a lot of money in the hope that he could fulfill his wish one day. He conducted his business earnestly and lived frugally, to the point that in all aspects of his life he appeared no different from a poor person. He put up with this way of living so that he could continue to accumulate wealth. As the decades flew by, he became old and then fell ill. Before he passed away, he said to his wife and son, "My greatest regret now is my fortune is only a tiny bit short of 100 million. Even after I am gone, you must fulfill this wish on my behalf and move into the 100 million village." After saying those words, he passed away. His wife reminded their son, "Your father worked hard for many centuries or decades to fulfill this wish, but he did not have the good fortune to enjoy it. I hope you can fulfill his wish." The son comforted his mother and said, "Do not worry. Please rest assured that after you turn the fortune over to me, I will quickly help you move into the 100 million village." Feeling assured, the mother turned the entire fortune over to her son. Actually, this young man had long watched his father live a brutal and miserable life in spite of having so much wealth, had felt a deep sense of pity for him. He had also seen that many people in Rajangha had been able to open their mind and resolve their difficulties after listening to and accept the Buddha's teaching. Even those who were materialistic poor were able to live happily. He could not help but think, "Why can't my family follow the Buddha Dharma instead of chasing after materialistic wealth?" After some internal struggle, he began to seek out the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. By listening to and exploring the teaching, he experienced how open, peaceful and free the Buddha's state of mind was. He felt very joyful and he understood that this state of being was not something that can be purchased with the amount of money you have or any amount of money that one has. Thus, he decided to use the fortune his father had left behind to help the poor and make offering to the triple gem or treasure. He distributed material goods to help those in need, ensuring that the poor had warm clothing to wear when the weather was cold and warm, and nutritious meal to eat when they were hungry. By doing so, he felt content, joyful, and at peace. Within a few years, he had given away his entire fortune. Soon after, he fell ill and passed away. His mother was devastated. She thought, "My son was so young and healthy, so kind and charitable. All his actions were greatly admired. Why was his life cut so short?" She cried and grieved every day. At the same time, the wife of the most prosperous elder in 100 million village gave birth to a son who was very dignified and adored by everyone. However, from the moment he was born, this child never stopped crying. No one could comfort him. The elder suggested to his wife, "How about hiring a nanny for him?" As the young man's mother needed to make a living, when she learned of this, she applied for the job. The moment she picked up the job, he immediately started laughing with joy. The couple, feeling confident, hired her and invited her to live at their home as a nanny in the household of the richest man in that million village. She was treated very well. She could not help but lament. My husband always wanted to live in 100 million village, but couldn't. Then my son also passed away. Now only I am here to enjoy this comfort. As the child grew up and learned how to talk, he suddenly said to her one day, "Mother, don't you recognize me?" The nanny was shocked and asked out of disbelief, "You are still so young. How can you speak so clearly?" "I'm your child because I wanted you to enjoy your life in comfort and live in 100 million village. In my past life, I reverently make offerings to the triple gem, the three treasure, and help the poor. This is how we have the condition and we came to live here." At that moment, the nanny realized what had happened and gained a deep appreciation of the inconceivable merits of giving, or dana parami, generosity. After the eldest son had grown up and his parent had passed away, he managed the family's asset mindfully, while at the same time continuing to make offering to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and giving to others charitably. He not only became a reverend Buddhist, he also influenced every family in this 100 million village to uphold the five precepts and practice the 10 good deeds. As we can see from this story, if we are willing to give up materialistic wealth and practice charitable giving with undefiled and pure intention, we can transform our mind. Then our mind, our spiritual home, will be wide open. We will be able to reach the state of the Buddha's mind and enjoy pure and undefiled peace and freedom. In this world, on this path, if we are able to become the master of our mind, of our spiritual home, we will take joy in all things and relationships in the world. And we will feel abundance in our lives. By engaging in spiritual practice among people, we are the blessed among the rich. This is the meaning, very true. When the Buddha Dhamma abides in our mind, we are the wisest among the wise. See, this is very true. To be the blessed among the rich means that since we are richly endowed with great love for the whole world, we must not only talk about it, but also go among people to put it into action. To be wise among the wise means that since the Buddha Dhamma abides in our mind, not only can we distinguish matters and appearances with discerning wisdom, but we can also view all sentient beings equally with impartial wisdom. The concept that all sentient beings are equal and the world is one, is all one family, is what the Buddha continuously teach in this world. Okay, we will stop here. So this is beautiful. So the next topic, you can go back and read up first if you want to. Is talking about the first merit is inconceivable as the source of the way faith give rise to merits and virtue. This sutra can enable all bodhisattvas who have not yet developed bodhicitta, means the enlightened thought, means bodhicitta, to develop, who had not yet. This sutra can enable all bodhisattva who has not yet developed bodhicitta to develop bodhicitta. Okay, correct. I thought, why is it repeated? Okay, I'll mark this page, then we open up. So we are now open up for meditation reporting.
就是我想跟 Brad 分享一下我今天的 别人的然后 Brad 就可以盖我一下好
可以可以可以嗯刷掉
嗯其实今天早上我们六点多就开车去我的 farm Carab
哦刷掉
然后整天就是mindfully 做我们要做的东西然后我们又很堵车然后我们回到来五点多
啊 OK
OK回到来家五点多，然后我就正在准备煮晚餐。OK， 然后呢，刚巧那个 swimming pool 多 swimming pool maintenance 那个人又来。
OK。
So 就 because 那个 swimming pool maintenance 的人一来，我的狗就很吵
，yeah,
因为
他
就是来，他就好像一个 guard dog 这样，他就一直叫
yeah, yeah, yeah.
很吵的就在那边。然后我 initially 我是 feel 到有一点点来，有一点点不舒服，因为他真的很凶、很吵。
OK。
可是当我就是安顿了他之后，我把他绑着，然后我就做我的 cooking 的时候。所以我就很 mindfully 的在切我的菜的时候然后我感觉到一个 shift 这样哦我好像只是有一个 aware 到 but 我听不到 I mean 我听到那个声音可是那个声音又不是声音这样就是说它就是一个怎样讲我就是你知道你只是你的 awareness 在你的海里面，
我知道，
就是你外面，就是
你
外面的东西哈，我从我的耳朵好像你，好像是你没有听到这样的，就没有明知的我，
对，
就是你，我只知道那个 experience like it's so beautiful you can。even though 外面这样子哦，
yeah,
你可以在你的
you can avoid anything
就是它就是一个只是一个 awareness so that 你什么都不影响到你这样子 right
we call it seclusion the mind goes into seclusion because of your ability to be aware the sudden shift can happen for you to experience a seclusion of mind thatWhatever outside is outside. There's nothing to do with that true mind. So when you can stay with that true mind, whatever arise, nature's phenomena, let it be. Then that true mind that has the ability to seclude itself is very beautiful. Yeah, that one normal human being cannot experience, cannot have that condition to be in that state.That's why it's for you to see, to understand that this true mind, this beautiful nature is very beautiful. Give me a minute, I have to answer this call. Okay, sorry, huh?My old classmate called me. So, just like what I explained to you, that nature within, like you say, is like a shift, sudden shift. It's like people go through the shift in consciousness, the consciousness become different. So this experience of that true nature giving you that type ofcondition to experience that seclusion of mind can allow you to understand that that nature is not normal mind. It can be secluded and it can has its own reality within. Like you say, you know, outside can be in whatever confused state it may be, but inside is beautiful because you can maintainthe awareness to go on with your daily, we call it what, chores, the thing that you do throughout the day, because you have this training to be mindful, to be aware. When you are very conversant in that very stable, your mind becomes different. That's why it can seclude itself and it can let you know. And sometimes I remember, it can just suddenly, completely silent. Then like, there is nothing inside there. No sense of the ego at all, the mundane mind or whatever. Then you know clearly that nature is nothing. Not only nobody, is nothing. It's just that nature. Finish. Then that mundane mind, the egoic mind cannot arise. Then you realize that is the beauty of that nature, and that understanding is so profound. Then there is no fear. That it can just in that state. There is no reality at all. Like Huan Ling realized, originally there was nothing. Where can the dust alight? So all these are creation from the mundane mind. Like the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So the phenomenal world of consciousness, whatever that happened within life, within society, just like the sutra say, everything is Dhamma. Everything can be blended into life, existence, and has its wonder and beauty. That's why whatever it is, human being initially may perceive it in negativity, but the reality is your dog is a guard dog, I think, on the protect. And when he sees somebody new and the dog doesn't recognize because it's a swimming pool maintenance, so he will bark and he will react and he will create a lot of noise. So it's not easy. Unless that dog has been trained and that dog can sense and understand. But sometimes you have to trust the dog. Just the dog have one type of sense that human being may not have. Sometimes they know. We may think that this worker is trustworthy or what, but they can sense there is this negativity inside them. Well, last time when I was on a spiritual trip, I remember we were at this Thailand. We actually hired a MPV. The driver drove us to this Achamahabowa's way place. And when we reached there, it was quite late. So initially, the driver already very negative thought, no way you all can visit him because you don't even have appointment and you reach there 7 something at night. Everything closed already. But then something like meant to be will be, like miracle. Suddenly there was a flashlight car at the back of us. Then I went now, I have a look, I saw monks inside there, so I knew they must be from the monastery. Then I quickly went down and talked to one of the monks in a very nice manner and explained to them we are from Malaysia. We read Achan Chah's book, Mahabowa's book, and we are very keen and sincere to pay him a visit and make some offering. Then the disciple also asked, do you have any appointment? Any recommendation letter? I say, we don't have. Wala dera, very difficult, I say. But I say, please, help us. He said, okay, no problem. Then within 2 or 3 minutes, there was joy. And I saw the young man, very happy. He came out, I say, yeah, come in. He said, Ajahn, willing to see you all, you know. And you know what happened? There was a dog inside there. You know. The group of us that went in, no problem. The driver also no problem. But he got a friend who is very selfish and very cunning. He wants to cheat on us, on the fare and all this thing. He sensed it really. That dog barked at him and don't allow him to enter. Just imagine. Everybody just went in, no problem. But that dog barked at him and stopped him from entering. That's why you don't play a fool with the dog. The dog knows. Well, this one is a Dhamma dog. So that is the real life thing. My wife was with me and there were kilometers with me. That I remember 8 of us were there. And this is true real story. That's why they can sense. So Dhamma is very beautiful. When you have Dhamma, when you have that mind state, that nature, the dog can sense you. That's why it's a Dhamma dog. And I experienced it many times. When I was in Australia, it happened twice. One was the Australian dog, the very big one. I was radiating my thigh. So that one is one of them. The other one is when I was at Ajayantra's Katina place. Early morning meditation. There was one dog, Dhamma dog. Always sit underneath where Ajayantra meditate on. That dog. One group was also meditating in the campfire there early morning, 4 a.m. The dog came to two of us, and one is Reverend Minor. Then I knew, I smiled. Then after that, the dog came to me. Reverend Minor also smiled. So these dogs are Dhamma dogs. They know, they can sense, and they wag their tail. They were very happy because the energy, the nature it is very different. So all these are very beautiful. So Alicia, it's good. Salute to you. If you can experience all this, is good. Then just let it manifest. Then learn from it. It's part of the way. Whatever that arises, part of the way is for you to understand, experience. And you know later on, as you stabilize all this understanding, as you experience all this, like what the sutta say, when you have more and more of this exposure, you start to understand the cultivation better and differently. So this is something very beautiful. Sadhu. Okay, you continue. Yeah.
Sadhu, Brother Teo. 其实我觉得最最微妙的是学习佛法哈、哦，你在就是你当你每天不在那个烦恼里面哦，哇，你用很少 energy 哦，
对 ，because that 烦恼 is a fear, is an unhappy mind state. That one drain your energy, your life force, and make you very miserable, tired, and drain your energy. Very true. When you have Dhamma, you have joy, you have peace, tranquility, you are like alive. There is so much joy. And life is so different. Where this is hateful living compared to those who are heedless, worry a lot. A lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of unhappy mind state. They hold on to so many things, worry about this, worry about that, the unfinished business. Then small things make them unhappy. Then they always go and recall to memories, all the scars of memory, insecurity, what they call phobia, past fear, you know what I say. They are miserable because of past karmic thing. So this will continue to arise, to haunt you when you don't have the Dhamma, when you don't have the cultivation, the understanding. And your mind can never handle all this. That's why people get into depression, into what they call insomnia, cannot sleep and all those things. So these are the realities of life and existence. Without Dhamma, living beings suffer, miserable. There is no life. With Dhamma, everything turns around and becomes so meaningful, so beautiful. That's why for you, you can experience them and even understand them. Good. 还有什么? Continue.
Radio.其实、哦、以前 我每次打个比喻说我每天到中午、哦、我的 battery 就没有了、
啊、
就是说我就现在可以维持整一天、啊、然后从我的饭回来、啊、然后还可以煮饭哦，这个是很感恩、啊、因为只有你有佛法你才能够做到，因为你不会计较，你也不会说累啊，你的 mind 会是 是讲这个那个很累，我不要这个，
啊、
我不要那个。
那个 mind 没有 complain 了嘛，没有那个 negativity or 情绪啊 ，that will drain you and make you unhappy， 没有了。You do with joy because you know this is life. You do with the feeling and sensation of the right duty as a mother. Your duty is to help to cook for the family, and you will do it well. For you, when you have the Dhamma, you become very different. That's why your energy can last you the whole day compared to last time. Last time you easily tired, go flat, and then like don't feel like doing all these things anymore. Especially after you travel to the farm, which is quite far and it's quite a long drive. I've been there before. But for you, like that day, one of these sharing I remember you mentioned, you don't feel tired. Despite the traffic condition, you drive all the way and you drive all the way down. Actually, it's not easy. Once you work at the farm, most people will have been tired on the way down and feel sleepy. But because you have clarity, you have the Dhamma, that's why you know how to develop maintenance of mindfulness to optimize your usage of energy. When you are mindful and aware, you use very little physical energy. That's why I don't have much physical reserve energy, because I don't use much of the physical energy. Most of it is for my nature to use. So that nature is so different because it's so efficient. That's why I don't have a lot of those negativity of my state and thought process, the wrong thought that normal heedless living being used to have almost for so long already. I don't have some of them, I cannot carry them also. I the moment I observe, I understand, and the moment I move, the awareness, the understanding transform, and it becomes Dhamma. That's why the Yonisop Manasikara, every moment is Dhamma. The understanding prevents the mind from going back to the old way of heedless thinking, the frivolous, useless, heedless thinking that leads to all the negativity of mind state, the fear, worry, anxiety, self-lamentation, the unfruitful scars of memory and all those things, then accumulating all the rubbish, the psychological memory, that leads to misery, unhappiness. So all this gone. That's why the mind has clarity, has space. All this gone. That it doesn't hold on to all those wrong view anymore, the delusion anymore. It become pristine, tranquil, still, beautiful, full of joy and understanding. So you will also go through all this and experience all this. That's why it becomes so different. Sadhu to you, Alicia. Anything
else? Right duty is right dharma.
That one very important.
可是我当时的 understanding 跟现在的 understanding
不一样了，
不一样
呀，根本不一样了。
不一样，其实他这个这一句很简单的一句话，其实他的哇，他的
他的 meaning
很深，而且很广。
很广。Right duty is right dhamma. When you understand, you do with joy.
对，
所以 this is the dhamma way.Because when you do it with joy, like just now the example of the person who strive until last minute about to achieve die, the son. You look at the way the son understand the Buddha Dhamma and live his life totally differently. So he did his duty very well. He take care of his mother. He has good pure wish for the mother. That's why he can.Arise such causes and conditions for them to have the good life. That's why when you understand right duty is right dhamma, means he did his dhamma duty, spiritual duty very well. He knows how to make use of the wealth, not like the father, just want to work and work and work to fulfill that quota and be among the rich people. No use. Instead, he uses his wealth in a very, very meaningful way, following the Dhamma way, following the teaching. Instead of working so hard, striving so hard to just make all the money and don't know how to use it for wholesomeness, to help others, to help their own family member, honestly. With the sole purpose of to join the rich, the wealthy, the special elite caste. So he saw all this no meaning. Then instead, after what he has done, that parami come back to him and he was born to be the son of the richest. That's why he died so young. So sometimes you don't go and simply come to the conclusion, how come this person died so young? Anathema. No, you cannot understand Dhamma, Karma. You cannot simply conclude like this person immediately become the son of the wealthiest among them, the richest and the most famous among the whole village. So all this are possible. Then he cried non-stop until the mother came and become the nanny. So this is very beautiful. So like you now understand, right duty is right Dhamma. The meaning is so deep and so wonderful, so beautiful. So when you understand, you do it with that understanding, is so different. That's why I live my life with such beauty, such understanding. And I realized when I was young, I did that. I did my duty towards my family, my parents and all things. I help out in my family, my father's business and all things, my household thing, whatever I can help, I help. And I like to do this when I was young. So I saw. That's why when I understood all this, I even rejoiced with what my wife did. I say, your parami this life is, you do your duty very well, as a spouse, as a mother, take care of the household very well, take care of the family very well, and he has good heart. That's why I never complain. A lot of Kayamita also very surprised. Normally people will complain on, oh, you're the husband's time, 90% go to Kayamita. What about their family? But she never say a word, never complain. She understands and she had the joy and she can join in and blend in beautifully. Then people also respect her because of what she did. That's why a lot of people have seen. Not easy to have a spiritual cultivation with comparable spouse. I've seen a lot of spiritual cultivator or practitioner. They have a lot of problem with their spouse, and some not spouse with their girlfriend or what. So all this Dhamma condition, when you have the true Dhamma understanding, you will have compatible companion, spouse and all this thing, and everything will blend in and become beautiful. Alicia, Sadhu, right? Duty is right Dhamma.
我不但遇到 Brother Tio， 而且还有佛菩萨一不断的，就好像地藏王菩萨度我自
住
的那几年，然后 Brother Tio， 我问 Brother Tio 为什么会这样，因为我从来没有发愿吃素。
你是前世因的，我都跟你讲。
对，所以后来我现在终于知道。
你跟地藏王菩萨不一样的因缘。
对。所以我很感恩他，
感觉得到的，他会跟你相应的，但他的禅定会出来，你会来很熟悉这个禅定的， 那你在他的 image 前面坐坐啊，来你讲 ，you describe and explain to me how it happened. You don't even know that it was 地藏王菩萨 a star bodhisattva, but somehow that chanting come and the tears and everything happened. Then it's like the image is talking to you. So a lot of such things people cannot understand. People thought something wrong. No, these are not weird things. These are things that is very common in the spiritual field. You need to witness them because I saw a lot of this happening to Kanyamitas and also to myself when I was growing up to my young age until when I developed the cultivation. Then when I'm in this spiritual field, I encounter a lot and I experience a lot and I saw a lot. That's why I understand all these are possible. Then I always rejoice when I can see, witness and feel all these things. Sadhu,
还有 brother, 就你记得我们要去普陀山的时候，你跟我说 Alicia 你一定要去普陀山，可是当下我不敢问你为什么我一定要去，然后我去了我才知道原来是这样，对，所以很感恩。
对对，那个时候我在你就感觉到，等下我会跟你讲，而且你一定要去，因为你那个时候也是刚刚好 you going through that phase。Then 我的 nature 感觉得到，感应得到，你一定要去。Then it will help you a lot. That's why you actually can develop the understanding, and you when then you understand. Then even there was one occasion, I think An Chung was the same. He's supposed to go to India, not with me, with Achan Achan Lo there.Last minute, no, the dream came. She don't know what that dream is. She was attending the Sunday class. Then after the class, she suddenly came and talked to me and asked me, she said, Bratio, what is that? Where we use the chanting book on the front page was that Buddha Gaya, that famous Buddha Gaya, that.We call that one, the stupa, or the famous one. He asked me, he said, what is this? I said, it's a famous the temple where they commemorate the enlightenment of Sakyamuni Buddha 2,000 over years ago. He said, he dreamed of that. Then I said, you better go. Well, that time they were practicing that Dhammacakkappavattana chanting. That's why they brought that chanting home.Then she saw, then I said, it means you have to go, meant to be there. She just made the decision and go, and that trip was so beautiful. A lot of things happened to her. She came back, she shared with me. She said the moment she went for that trip, the moment she boarded the plane until she come back, the chanting was inside her, non-stop chanting. Then when she was there, there were a few occasions where Achan Achan Lo Deo tell them to use the meditative chanting, Buddho, Buddho. If they cannot, the internal chanting of that four how more strong. She just used that. And whole of the spiritual tree was so beautiful. That's why a lot of these things can happen. Meant to be will be, and you will know because it's from your past.And all this can manifest when condition arise. So 很奥妙 very beautiful.
是非常奥妙，真的佛法真的很难思议。
Yeah, 很难思议的。
对。
That's why a lot of Kayamita for you, once they experience and go through, they can recall and share like your case. When it happened that time, you still don't know what is all this. But after you evolve and become different, then you recall back, you start to understand why the Buddha always say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. All these are causes and conditions planted from the past. That's why the way you come to me is also very unique. You went through those depression and all saying, I don't know you, I don't know Freddy, but you all know Vincent, and through Vincent and the wife, yeah, you all managed to make it. And from there, a lot of things happen and change. That's why man to be will be, and my nature will know, it will sense it, that you will know how to share and guide. And you all will have the causes and conditions to learn and become different. Actually, that time when you came, like you say, your condition was actually very difficult because you were already having depression for more than 15 years, I think 15 or 16 years. Then your English is not good, and I conduct English classes, but you make it a point to learn and study because you are more adept to Mandarin. But finally, the thing came to fruition and it paid off. And you actually learn very fast. So all these are very beautiful. And the sharing is even more beautiful, because what you can recall out of gratitude, you share with Kanyamita so that people can have the faith. And a lot of people, I think they are going through the stages and phases like what you went through. Later on, they can also share, because if you don't reflect and contemplate back, you will never understand how all this unfolds so beautifully. Even I look at my daughter's case also, she also very strangely on her own, she just come out. I never ask them to come, I never force them to learn the number. No, I say, I told my wife, they are lying, let them adapt and evolve and develop the understanding. Then she shared with me how initially she still had problem and doubt about the law of karma and all those things, until later on, after attending the retreat and learning all the more relevant type of understanding on the teaching, then she starts to evolve her own understanding. Then she developed the understanding following her own unique way. Yes, she is condition for this type of society, this type of civilization, and her thinking is the IT mindset, very different from our traditional old way of system of learning. That's why I learned from her too, because the way she looks at things is different, which I acknowledge and I really rejoice, because these are the things you learn, because different people are different, they approach different, they understand things different, they see things different. Then of course in between we have very good discussion, which end up beautiful, where she also learned. As she learned, she developed her own faith, her own understanding, and she transformed. Then she witnessed how different Dhamma can change their life, the individual's life. Then they can also sense it. Our family is so different. We are like so blessed, so lucky, and everything go our way, and our understanding is so different. And the way we do things is so different. And you can see how all the Kayamita who came and benefited and become so different, full of joy, full of understanding, become different after they understand the Dhamma way. So these are all very beautiful sharing. So sadhu to you, Alicia. Thank you for your good.
Sadhu, thank you, Brajo, Mrs. Steele, 还有大家. Yeah. 我可以 nominate 苏怡 跟我们分享一下。
可以可以, 哇, 你厉害, 你。
The most impactful thing that I've come to observe recent years, the COVID-19, since I came back to Malaysia, is I think the topic of affinity. I think we briefly touched on it previous class. I think the question was how to build affinity with Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Actually, when that question came up, for me, the observation I found was it's not just things you do at a point in time. It is a moment to moment, every thought we have, every speech, every dialogue we carry out, every action we do. So in my case, I feel it in every hobby I pick up, every article I read on the internet, every WhatsApp message I pay attention to. Wherever my attention is, I build affinity with that kind of thing, that type of people, that organization, even in I think investment where I put my money, I give them the support to grow their business. Or if it was a charity or a donation, I actually encourage that group. I encourage that kind of activity. I build affinity with that kind of mindset. So it is in every moment we are building affinity. So if we fill 90% of our time with certain type of things, whether it is in nature of violence, complaint, or I think that if it's a lot of negative emotions, we are building affinity with a lot of negative influences. And then if it's filled with a lot of positive whether activities, conversations, dialogues, influences, things we send out are of a certain kind of nature, of certain type of feels, I feel that that is what we are spreading. That will be the type of affinity we will grow in our nature and our karmic nature. So I think that that has resonated very strongly throughout the last 1.5 years for me. Hopefully this sharing helps. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, thank you so much. So what Sui share is also very beautiful. This is something new for Kayamita. Regarding affinity, affinity all things, not only build affinity with Triple Gem, Great Beings, Buddhas and all those things, but affinity with whatever we do in life. That's why it's evolving into something like every moment, every instant. So she believes in the thing she wants to invest in. She don't like to invest in unethical type of company with unethical type of people. For me also same, when I know the management has become different, when their intent is no longer virtuous or wholesome, then I will ship up. I will know, not meant to be, no point. Because a lot of things in life is about understanding. When we have understanding, we have Dhamma, we will know the causes and conditions behind what is appropriate, what has affinity with us. Like certain counters that shares, especially Wu Yan, meant to be for you to maybe reap your good Dana Parami, to grow your Dana Parami friction. Is you are going to benefit from the investment. They will come to me. I never look for them actually. The condition will arise, then I will see it. Then I will understand it. Then I will make my decision. So a lot of these things are very beautiful. Then like her case, I think I really had a lot of joy when he told me he supported all those industries that actually environmentally friendly. Then they are very responsible type, means they look into, we call it what, corporate governance, where they emphasize on environment, social responsibility, and there's one more I forgot already. So all this gave meaning. And there was one industry, Beyond Meat, listed in US. She liked that type of industry because it's a replacement for killing of all this, what they call farm animal meats and all those things. So this one is not really meat. It is like vegan type of diet and all those things. But it looks like meat. Tastes like meat, and that one is growing, growing. So all these are very interesting. Then she also see, she has that parami and that luck. Once she listened to that in a call, in a affinity, then she make the decision, then she buy that stock, she will make money. Then sometimes certain stock, you see, keep on dropping already, then people like give up already, then some even accountant also complain the account no good, how can they pay dividend more than what they earn and all that. But I checked, I saw, I said, hey, this is good, because traditionally, and they have this, what they call environmental friendly type of policy within. So we buy into it. And the company really turned around and make money and pay a better dividend. Then it shot up almost double or triple. Then in Singapore, so I have joint account with her. We bought into those Singapore bank and some of the semicon company. All these are growing and making good money. So she witnessed it. She saw. That's why it's beautiful. So all this, you can learn. Everyone is different. That's why the Dhamma is not one size fit all. It can accommodate all. And it can really become beautiful when you understand and you know how to apply it. Yeah, like her case, she see things differently, she apply it differently, and it manifests for her to see. And through discussing with her, I also learn new things about people with this type of mindset and mentality. That's why they are different, they come from different generations. Both my kids like to come during IT era. Yeah, they are specialized in IT. They are thinking logic, everything is IT. But they have their past, otherwise they cannot be my children. They must have been good parents before to have this part of me to be my children. And they know our family is so different. The way we bring them out and the way we expose them and let them understand life is so different. I never told them you have to become civil engineer or engineer like me. No, I never. I give them their choice, their life, let them decide. Then after that, I'm very good in investment. I never say you must learn investment. I say no. I say you go and work first. You go and experience your life. I can help you to invest. Then later on, you decide. That's why after she has gone through life, she reached the age of about 40. Also due to condition coming and time to move. And everything happened just before the 40 years old. He came and joined my class, I think, in the year 2017, first retreat 2017. So that was 3 years before she reached the age of 40. Then she starts to change. She starts to like develop interest in the retreat. Every year she make a point, take leave and join the retreat. And it was so beautiful for her. Then when she came back, lockdown, and she decided to retire, and the retirement timing was perfect, everything fall into place. And then she helped us to create Zoom and all this thing. Otherwise, all this is not possible. Without her, how to handle all this? That's why Jita was also very surprised. You know, say, wow, Sui, very good. Then she get to know Christy, and some of his younger generation. They all are very, very helpful and very beautiful in the sense that they can contribute to a lot of things. So now there are more youth activity within. Even Tammy has joined them, and at one time I think they were having fun. Now lockdown. We have to wait till open back. A lot of Tuesday class, Thursday class, Kayamita told me looking forward to the new normal that allow us to go back to the means we can meet the Tuesday class where we can have our wonderful sharing in person. Then after that we have our makan and all those things. So there was so beautiful reminiscence. Even Thursday class was so very unique. Then of course Wu Ping Ching's Sunday class was very unique. Then our Monday house dana. Long time we haven't had it. And then our spiritual trip and our annual retreat. We look forward to all these beautiful things. Okay, so today I think we better end now. because almost 10, 28, we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage, then we end. I have to call my classmate. Okay, we rejoice with all the good sharing and wholesomeness. Thanks to Alicia, thanks to my daughter, and all those who contributed to all this. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.